need to say to someone, things are getting better. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. So I start from there. And this is intriguing. You know, sometimes we say there are many roads to the market. Very good. Very true. You can have many roads to the market. But there's one road to God. The Bible says, let the word of God from 16 dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonition one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And my text, and whatsoever ye do, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Whatsoever ye do, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by the Lord Jesus. Whatsoever you do, do all. Don't do some. He's talking to believers here. Whatsoever ye do, do all, not some. Don't do some in your strength. Don't do some in your power. Don't do some in the name of your pastor or in the name of a prophet or in the name of your mentor. He said, all you do in the name of the Lord Jesus. And he says, you give thanks to God and the Father by Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, you're out of the equation. Because he says that all that you do, whether in words or in deed, you do all in the name of the Lord. Let me make 3 points very quickly. It shows from here, therefore, that the legal tender before God is Jesus. That's the first point I want you to see. What makes you to have a stand before God is the name of Jesus Christ. You don't have the wherewithal. You don't have the local standing. You don't have the qualification. Your name is not big enough. Your status is not standard enough. Your achievement is not excellent enough. He says when you come before God and whatever that you want to do, you see here that this is even going, probably next we have been talking about the use of Jesus' name in prayers. But what I want you to see this morning is using the name of Jesus in prayers is just an aspect. Your life, your local standing, the way you do things. The Bible is saying here is in the name of Jesus. You want to enter into contract, for example. You want to, you know, go on a journey. The Bible says that whatsoever that you do, it says do in the name of the Lord Jesus. What makes you to stand before God? What gives you a local standing? What gives you an authority to stand before God? It is the name of the Lord, not your righteousness, not your achievement, not your goodness. So the legal tender or the currency of transaction between you and God, it is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The second I want you to see. When the Bible says here, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. The second point is God is giving you a power of attorney to use that name. In other words, the authority that you have is in the name of Jesus Christ. That's what God is saying there. The authority that you have, the power of attorney has been given to you to use the name. An open check had been signed for you to make transaction. In the name of the Lord Jesus, God has ceded authority to you, you know, to use the name. Let me tell you about three things. When you have, you know, a power of attorney, and I hope I'm not going to commit alacrity because I have a lawyer here, but I'm sure he'll be shaking his head, you know, as I say this because I based on research. The first thing is this. When you have a power of attorney, the strength of the power of attorney is in the name that backs that, you know, letter of attorney. Isn't it? It's in the name. What is the size of the person? For example, if Dangote or a Dangote will give you a check of 500 million to go and cash, you will not doubt much, you know, a check from a Dangote. But if Akita Lalu should give you a check of 500 million, you want to look at him twice before you go to the bank. You want to say to him, you say, architect, should I present it tomorrow or I should present it next year? You know, because you have some doubt. Because you see his size. You say, who knows him? How many hotels has he constructed? So in other words, the confidence that you have in exercising power and authority is vested in the person that is giving you the authority. When you are given an appointment, somebody signs the appointment letter. You know, an authority signs it. And that's why you say you have an appointment. If I gave you an appointment, I signed a letter. I say you'll be appointed as a permanent secretary in Osun State. You have to look at the letter twice. Because at what level of authority am I here in government of Osun State? You have appropriate people that sign letter of appointment. That gives it strength and backing. And so the first thing about power of attorney is the person that is backing. Number two, something about the power of attorney again, you want to consider the extent that authority covers, isn't it? What does it cover? Can I use that authority in Nigeria alone? Can I use that authority in Nigeria and in Ghana? Can I use that authority in Africa? Or is it limited to my family? My house, when I step out of the door of my house, that power has become invalid. That's the second thing that you need to know, you know, about the power of attorney. The third point is to, what is the duration of that power of attorney? You know, is it forever? Is it for a year? Is it for 2 years? If somebody signed a check for you, and I think in Nigeria today, if you don't present the check in 3 months, I suppose it becomes illegal. Even though you have 500 million, even though it's well signed, even though it's well written, even though it says pay into somebody's account, and then you have it, and then you go back home and say, praise God, I've never collected this kind of check all my life. And then you decided to put it in a glass, and then you put it, you know, in your sitting room, or better still, you know, in your sleeping room, and then you put it, you know, on the head of your bed, and when you wake up, you see it. I have 500 million. And then you wake up, you see it. And somebody comes one day and say, look, you have 500 million. The date is passed. In other words, the strength of that instrument has expired. When the date passes, you don't have that 500 million any longer. You don't have that money any longer. You had it 3 months ago. You had it 2 months ago. You had it a month ago. But now you don't have it. And so when you have power of attorney, you want to consider the person behind it. You want to consider the duration. and you want to consider the exchange, ladies and gentlemen, the name of Jesus that have been seated to us in use operates here on earth and in heaven. You know, it covers every terrain. The Bible says at the mention of the name Jesus, you know, every knee we bow. It said names and knees here on earth, knees in heaven, and underneath we bow to the use of the name Jesus. Wherever they hear the name Jesus, they we bow. And the name Jesus, the power of attorney, you know, operates forever, now and eternity. That is the power. And the person behind the name itself, you know, is God and is Jesus himself. That is the authority that we have. And now, so I say, whatever you do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. When you don't do it in the name of Jesus, you are not going to have results. Let us read certain scripture very quickly. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. And I want you to follow these scriptures very closely, putting on your thinking cap. Romans 10, 13. For whatsoever, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. So the most important thing here is the name of the Lord. It is not the male, it's not the female, it is not the tribe, it is not the qualification. It is whosoever shall call upon the name of Jesus, that person shall be saved. John chapter 14. Very quickly. Just follow me. John 14, verse 13. 14, 13, the Bible says, and whatsoever, the one say whosoever, this one say whatsoever, go glory to Jesus, whatsoever, this is underlined in my Bible, underlined to the extent that I don't care if the Bible, you know, is torn, or loose the cage, whatsoever, ye shall have. Let's see what Jesus is saying. This Bible is his red letter. It is Jesus himself speaking. You know, our text, it was Paul speaking to the church. This is Jesus himself speaking, you know, to the apostles. He said, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, praise God. It's not whatsoever you ask in your pastor's name. It's not what you ask, you know, in Jesus' name. It's not what you ask in his holiness. It's not what you had. Holy Mary, Mother of Jesus, pray for us. You understand? He said, whatsoever you shall ask in my name. Oh, the Bible says, holy, you know, Mary, Mother of Jesus. That Jesus did not say, pray in the name of his holy mom. He said, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name. See what the Bible says? That will I do. Whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. Whatsoever ye shall ask in the name of Jesus, that will I do. 14, if shall ask anything in my name, he repeated the same thing. He said, if ye shall ask anything, you ask whatsoever. If she asks anything in my name, the Bible says, I will do it. The only reason why we not do it is if it is not hard in my name. John chapter 16. And see the Bible say here, verse 23. And in that day, glory to Jesus. I'll be talking more about this on Bible study. You know, say, in that day, ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, say unto you, whatsoever. Can you see again? Whatsoever. You can see the Lord, whatsoever. Praise God. Jesus, It's not saying that you have some issues, you know, that is above him. It's not saying that you have a problem that is bigger than him. It's not saying that you have a disease that is bigger than him. He said whatsoever. When he was saying it, I'm going to read the scripture to you in a translation. You know, it is intriguing. The Bible says, when I get there, I'll do that. I hope I get there today. And saying, that day, you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever. You shall ask the Father in my name. You ask the Father in my name. He says, he will give it you. Whatsoever. You will ask the Father in Jesus' name. He will give it you. Matthew 18:20. I'm reading these various scriptures so that I begin to break the religious walls in our heart, from our background, you know, the way we grew up, you know, and we can see certain things militating, you know, against what God has planned, you know, for our lives. 18, verse 20. For where 2, 3 are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. What we make God not to be there is if the gathering is not in his name. Mark 16, we all know this, but we need to read it for the purpose of reading the scripture. It is blessed to read the scripture till I can't give attendance to read it. Mark 16. You will not finish this service. You are looking for Mark after Genesis. You'll be here until the evening. Mark chapter 16, verse 17. See what the Bible says. And these. Okay, from verse 15. Go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And this sign shall follow them that believe in my name. Praise God. Say to your neighbor, in the name of Jesus. Turn to another neighbor. Say, in the name of Jesus. In my name. In my name. In my name. The name of Jesus. Jesus is speaking here. These are the last words of Jesus before he departed. Before he was taken up. He called the disciples. He said, look, in my name, they shall cast out devils. Are you a believer here this morning? This is for you. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, he's not saying that I go and carry Gamaliel 20. And that's why I put if. In other words, in the warfare of life, if it happened that you took it, either by mistake or you were forced to do it, somebody wants to make you to commit suicide. He said, if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. The Bible says they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. In my name, they will do all these things. Acts chapter 3. And this is the demonstration. Praise God. After Jesus had gone, you know, it's giving them the instructions, giving them what to do. He said, in my name, you do this. In my name, you heal the sick. In my name, you win souls. And so see, Acts chapter 3, from verse 1, and see the demonstration here. And the demonstration does not exclude you. Now, Peter, John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, with the lay daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that enter into the temple, who seen Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive some dollars from them. Then Peter said, dollars, young, we don't have. But such I have, I give thee in the name. Oh, glory to Jesus. A simple obedience to what God has said to them before when he was living. You know, they acted, they obeyed. When you obey what God says to you, you will taste of the miracles. Can I say this to you, ladies and gentlemen? The effectiveness of your life, the effectiveness of your walk with Jesus is a factor of the understanding of the authority that is in the name of Jesus Christ. That is the effectiveness of your life as a believer. You become as effective as the understanding of the name of Jesus that you have. These people were effective because I said to them, in my name, you heal the sick. And so remember that God, Jesus, before he was sleeping, had given them an instruction that in my name, you heal the sick. So they said to this man, he said, I don't have silver. We don't have gold. We've abandoned our fishing. We are not in business again. God has called us to be fishers of men. And so we don't have what to give you, but there's something that we have. Ladies and gentlemen, when you have Jesus in your life, you have everything. The life of a believer is not measured in terms of the substance. It's not measured in terms of achievement. Those are hard-ons. Say to your neighbor, those are hard-ons. You see, when you have a new car, we don't measure your life. Don't celebrate a new car as though you know you've done everything. Don't celebrate a new house as though you've done everything. People will say, when are you doing housewarming? I say, which is the house that is cold, that wants you want? That is not the measure of a man's life. You know, having certificates, become a professor, it's not the measure of a man's life. You know, it's people that measure people's life by the thing they achieve, you know, on the outside. The apostles make us to know that measure, the weight, the depth of a believer's life is the knowledge, is the revelation of Jesus that you have. Jesus in you is the hope of glory. All these things that we talk about, they are hard-ons. But you see, we've left the main engine and we are running after the hard-ons. And that's why, each time you win the hard-on, you still feel empty. That's why, when you achieve that milestone, you still feel empty. Because that is not the essence of your life. The real deal of our life is Jesus in our life. I said, we don't have Sheba, we don't have gold, but this is what we have. And we know the authority in what we have. We know the power in what we have. The wonderful name of Jesus. I said, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise and walk. As though he knows that disease must obey the commandment. The Bible says that they did not do that alone. When he said that, he took the hand of a man that was lame. He took him because he knew that when that name is deployed, there is a power in the name. There is an authority in the name. There's a doing in the name. And so when he said, get up in the name of Jesus, they did not just do that alone. They went to grab the man, the hand of the man that was sick. And the Bible says he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately, glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. The Bible says immediately, his feet and ankle bones received strength. Like immediately, my microphone received life. I've been speaking on top of my voice. I didn't know that the microphone can be better. I've been suffering preaching. Media, please help me. Let it get better. You say I should put it somewhere. I put it there. I don't know what is happening. Luke chapter 19. I want you to see this again before I will quickly preach. Luke chapter 19. See, the Bible says, yeah. Luke chapter 19. Let's get there very quickly. The Bible says again, Jesus gathered the disciples, you know, and then he spoke to them. Oh, is it Luke 19? And Jesus went to Jerusalem. It was a matter serious, and he sought to see Jesus. No, this is not the place. You see, the Bible says Jesus, he called his disciples in that particular place. He said, and he gave them power and authority to go and preach. You know, and they went to preach, you know, and sicknesses and disease obeyed him. Now, this is where I'm going. When they came back, listen, when they came back, they said, we saw somebody too, that was preaching in the name, healing in the name of Jesus. And they said, it's not part of us. And Jesus said to them, the fact they are not part of you does not mean that she does not have an encounter. In other words, anybody that has come to know Jesus can use the name of Jesus and it will have results. The lady too was preaching and having results, you know, in the name of Jesus Christ. Therefore, ladies and gentlemen, we need to think, what is in the name? Why is it that Jesus said, you must transact in my name if you really want to reach God? What is in the name? If the leg tender, if the weapon that I have is the name of Jesus, then common sense and wisdom says, I must understand the name of Jesus. I must explore what makes the name of Jesus tick. More so, he has given us the authority. I said, whatsoever you ask in my name, he said, that I'm going to do. Delegated authority. The same way God delegated authority to Jesus. Acts 10:38, the Bible says, for how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with Holy Ghost and power. And because of that anointing, which is a transfer of authority, because of that anointing, the Bible says he went about doing good. What I want you to see in quoting the scripture is, I want you to run in your mind, when God delegated authority to Jesus here on earth, the things that he was able to do using that authority. Because you need to understand that, so that the power of attorney that you have in the name of Jesus, you can use it effectively. The Bible says, because of that anointing, you see, when Jesus was on earth, Jesus did not work this hard as God. So, the things that he did as human. So he needed the anointing of God. And that's what the Bible says. He anointed him with Holy Ghost and with power. When he received that anointing, he now went about doing good. Without that anointing, he wouldn't have been able to go to do good. He went doing good because he understands that God in heaven has delegated power and authority to him. So, Jesus maximized the authority. He maximized the power that was delegated to him. And so you need to understand that this power of attorney that I have in the name of Jesus, how do I use it? How effective can it be? Your understanding will determine how effective, you know, that power or that name will be in your mouth. Jesus took advantage of the fact that he was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power. You see all over the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you see the healings that took place. It was as a result of usage of the power that was delegated. You know, when he was going to speak to Lazarus, you know, in the tomb, you know, John 11, when he got in there, he did not look at the people. He looked at his father, who had delegated authority. He said, thank you, Father, because you hear me all the time. Praise God. You know, when he was saying that, he was not looking at the side. Remember, the Bible said, whatsoever. The dead body that is rotting for 4 years is inclusive of whatsoever. Lazarus, his friend, that had been smelling, decay had come in, is inclusive of whatsoever. When he saw the man that had no eyes, it's not that he forged you. He didn't forge you. He had no eyes. You understand that? Do you see that? Creative miracle. Creative miracle is part of whatsoever. Did you get that? And so when he saw that, he saw there's no socket. There's no socket. I don't know what Dr. Temilola can then we do with that. Medicine does not cover. Even plastic surgery does not cover that. So but Jesus did not run away. Because he was going to say to us, whatsoever. He just look at him. You know, he carried, you know, mortar. Because he know that that was the way it was made. He just bring life into it. And he know that he himself is life. Did you get that? And so he carried the way we were formed. He just put it there. And he speak life. And the eyes started seeing. There are some people that were blind. You know, he was walking. You know, and he said, okay, this one is blind. And say, you want to see? He said, I want to see. And he lay hands and he saw. And he said, are you seeing very well? He said, I'm seeing men like trees. He said, this is dangerous for your life and your living. And he prayed again. And he started seeing men like men and trees like trees. That is part of whatsoever. He was sleeping in the boat. And there was a storm. I'm talking about the thing he used the delegated authority for. He was in the boat. And there was a storm. You know, and the apostle said, oh, Jesus, I thought you love us. You know, sometimes when we are in trouble, we speak ill even of people that love us. We take offense at people that care and love us because you are in trouble. You've forgotten the goodness of this person. They've forgotten that it's the same Jesus that said to them, let us get to the other side. Did he say, let us get to the other side so that they can all die in the sea? You know, when we're in trouble, we forget God's word. When we're in trouble, we forget the people that truly love us. When we're in trouble, we forget the people that care. You know, they took offense at Jesus. They spoke profane words at Jesus. You must do the same thing. So the people that care about you, just because you are going through some difficult times, just because things are not good, acute problem, chronic problem, and say, yeah, this person is not good. Because they went to Jesus. They said, Jesus, you care we die? Uh-oh. Jesus chose them. Jesus has provided free food. Jesus has done miracles. Suddenly, Jesus has become a wicked person. But glory be to God. The storm is part of whatsoever. And the Bible says that he spoke to the storm. Oh, glory to Jesus. And suddenly the people that say Jesus is no good, they say, this is a strange man. This must be an angel. No? We thought that it's only human. Because all along, the people that have been obeying him are people that have ears. They are people, human beings. So they've been saying, yes, human beings, they can respond. But they say this one, even storm, obey him. Storm is inclusive of whatsoever. No matter the storm you are going through, no matter the situation you are going through, no matter the wind that is blowing in your life, in your family, in your business, no matter, it is part of whatsoever. They are not beyond whatsoever. The Bible says whatsoever you have, you are seeing the storm because you have never had. You are in the storm because you never have spoken about it. When you ask, they will listen. But the Bible says whatsoever. Whatsoever is whatsoever. Those are the things that Jesus did using the delegated authority. Not only that, because he had the delegated authority. Have you ever seen a man, he enter into the tabernacle? Isaiah chapter 60. Can you turn to it? You know, I want you to read this and see the confidence. Oh, you're talking about confidence. You haven't seen one. You're talking about power and authority. You haven't seen one. You see Jesus, he entered, you know, into the tabernacle. He saw, you know, all the Sadducees, all the Pharisees, all the people that wear weak. Have you seen some people? You know, they will wear this thing, the turban. The turban like this is taller than their whole height. You know, they were in the tabernacle. You know, it's intimidating people. The people that knew the law, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, you know, they were in the temple. And Jesus entered him there. And said, ladies and gentlemen, have you seen that before? He said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord had anointed me to preach good tidings. Oh, praise God. How does he know that God has anointed him? You know, sometimes you want to say certain things. Jesus did not say that. He said, the Lord has anointed me to preach the good tidings. unto the meek. He has sent me to bind the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beautiful. Oh, listen, you don't get it. When somebody comes and started reeling out, in, you know, CV that looks impossible, you are really now CV that looks is going to put you into trouble. You know, that's talking about authority. That's talking about somebody that knows who he is. That's confidence. Why? Because there was a delegated authority, and Jesus used it well. That name has been delegated to you. What will you do with the name Jesus? Next week, I begin to talk to you about how Jesus got his name. Because you need to know, praise God, I want you to see that all that you have is Jesus. All that you have is the name of Jesus. I'll be preaching to you on how he got those names. When you see the way God is named, it covers everything. No matter the situation, no matter the challenge, no matter what you are facing, no matter what you are going to face, the way Jesus God is named has covered it all. And so when you stand and you use the name Jesus, what has put us in trouble is that we messed up the name of Jesus. That's what put the lot of believers in. That's why the name has not become effective in your life. That's why it's not become effective in your situation. You know, somebody, you're just walking. You hit your leg against your, you say, Jesus. You know that kind of things? You are just going. And then you read on the news. They say, Petras, you come 1,200. They say, Jesus. So in other words, you call the name of Jesus, heaven has responded, and heaven has seen that you are just wasting the name. So when it becomes critical, they say, but the man can't be near mother. And that's why the name of Jesus has not been effective in our lives. Because we use this as exclamation mark. We use it as a sign of surprise. And we so bastardize it, Gen Z. They say, Jesus. That's the way you are just wasting the power. That's the way you are dissipating the authority. Sometimes we say, Jesus. What is Jesus? It is not the Hebrew translation of Jesus. It is not the Greek translation of Jesus. It is not the English translation of Jesus. It can only be the demonic translation. And you are wasting. And that is why our lives are not effective. You have a gun. And it's loaded. And what you can do with a loaded gun, you know, is just to be shooting in the sky. They must know that there's a gun in this house. And so when the thieves come, you've expended all the cartridges. That's the way we do with the name Jesus. I'll continue from next week. When you see how Jesus acquired his name, you will tremble. Try to become sober. You don't just call the name of Jesus anyhow. You call the name when there's need for it. And when you use the name appropriately, you have results. Something is wrong when you use the name of Jesus and you don't have results. Something is wrong. When you are sick and you call the name of Jesus, you know what the Bible says, Romans 10:13? So whatsoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. The sick call upon the name of the Lord. The poor call upon the name of the Lord. The rejected call upon the name of the Lord. You know, the widow call upon the name of the Lord. The orphan call upon the name of the Lord. He said, that person shall be saved. I'm going to let you know the meaning of salvation next week. When you call upon the name of Jesus, you shall be saved. You know what the Bible says again? It said, whosoever calleth upon the name of Jesus shall not be put into shame. You can't call the name and be ashamed. And that's why I'm preaching, teaching you, so that you can know the authority in the name. And you can be able to dispose or use the name appropriately. There's no way you call upon the name and you'll be ashamed. You are still seeing shame. Ladies and gentlemen, the time that the shame will be turned to stop is here. The time of the change is here. When you understand the appropriateness and the power in the name of Jesus, your destiny will begin to change. I want to challenge you. Begin to use the name from this week. Use this as a challenge. I'm sure when you are returning next week, there's going to be a testimony. Just call the name of Jesus. Whosoever shall call upon the name shall be saved. Hallelujah. Can we please rise to our feet, ladies and gentlemen? Whosoever shall call upon the name shall be saved. Choir, can you come? Whosoever shall call upon the name. Let's shout Jesus from the mountains. Jesus in the streets. If your family is troubled, Jesus for your family. That's what we are going to do. If you are sick, don't call the name of sickness now. Call Jesus on the sickness. I want you to know that Jesus is here. Jesus is here. So in the name of Jesus, whatsoever exists in your life that is not planted by God, I uproot them now. In the name of Jesus. Whatsoever, it is not of God. Whether it is God's ancestral spirit, whether it's God's generational curse, whether it's God a family problem, as long that is not planted by God, whatever is operating in your life, whether sickness or disease, that is not according to the word of God, I uproot them now. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Every growth in terms of sickness and disease, because the key of the kingdom has been given us, whatever we bind on now shall be bound, whatever we lose on now shall be losing ever. And so any growth in your body, in your system, in the fallopian tube, in the ovaries, any growth in the kidney that is not of God, I command them to dry up. In the name of Jesus,
amen.
I command kidney stone to disintegrate.
Amen.
I command it to come out from the urine.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I command every tumor everywhere to dry up now.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Any growth in the brain, I command them to dry up.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I dispel the authority that is in the name. The Bible says, of the name, every knee we bow. Of things on earth, of things in heaven that underneath the heart. So I shout, call the name of Jesus. And I command every circumstance, every disease, every infirmity. I command you to bow. Because it is written, at the mention of the name, every knee will bow. And so I mention the name of Jesus. I command every lock to bow.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I command debts to be paid.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I command provision to be made.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, I command restoration.
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen.
Because the mention of the name, every knee will bow.
Amen.
If you believe that, come and lift your hands. Because that is the word of God. At the mention of the name, you should lift your hands and thank God. And say, thank you, Lord, because the problem has bowed. And say, thank you, Lord, because the disease and the infirmity has bowed.
Whatsoever,
and the care that your testimony shall be.